You're listening to Season 2, Episode 11 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Chang. Am I doing this right? Hi, I'm your host, Yin Chang, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence. Hey, storytellers! Before we get into today's interview, I wanted to thank Vermont College of Fine Arts for sponsoring today's episode. Their MFA writing program has been around for 35 years. At the end of the show, you'll find out why they're ranked one of the best low-residency writing programs in the country. In today's episode, I'm so excited to have my very dear friend Natalie Lander on the show with us. It's Natalie's birthday this week, so a very, very happy birthday to this beautiful human being. I am so grateful to have her in my life. Natalie is an actress, writer, and singer. She's been a recurring guest star on ABC's The Middle for the past 5 seasons and is the voice of the lead character Goldie in Disney Junior's number one ranked show, Goldie and Bear. You may have also seen Natalie on TV shows like Fox's Touch, ABC's Castle, and Disney's Hannah Montana. A super fun fact, Natalie also worked on a Warner Brothers digital series called Aim High, where she co-starred alongside my best friend Amy. A huge shout out to Miss Amy Teagarden for bringing us together. In today's episode, Natalie gives us a behind-the-scenes look at the realities of being a working actor and how it led her to becoming a writer and creator of multiple successful YouTube, new media, and theater shows. Now let's dive right into Nat's interview. Hey everyone! Oh my goodness! We have my really, really, really good dear friend with us on the show today, Natalie Lander. Nat, how are you? Thank you for being here with us today.
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me in. I'm a fan of the podcast and I'm a fan of you, so this is really fun.
Yay! Thank you so much. So let's get started. I know you have a very awesome interview right after this. So let's dive right in and tell me what's really exciting you about your work right now.
Well, right now, I've been focusing primarily on being an actor. And in the last, I'd say year, I started to really incorporate my writing and acting together. And in the last, even as quick as 6 months, I've had 2 writing projects that I'm a part of kind of start to take flight. And it's been a really exciting, I won't call it a transition because I'm still acting and I'm still heavily involved as an actor, but it's just a new extra path that I wasn't aware that I was going to have in my life.
Can you talk a little bit about your acting, as in what you've been working on, and if you were running into any walls, was that what inspired you to start creating your work?
Oh, definitely. I feel like I ran into a lot of walls, doors, windows, a lot of flat, hard surfaces, floors. I had been pursuing acting for the past 10 years professionally since I got out of college. I went to school. I was a theater major. And, you know, you get out of school and you kind of have this great, naive excitement. And I don't want to spoil that in anyone because I think it's really wonderful. But I really felt like it was going to be so easy. And once I got one job, it was going to lead to the next and the next and the next and the next. And the next thing you know, I'm going to be, you know, accepting Emmys, you know. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't quite happened that way. I'm lucky. I'm fortunate as an actor. I've been working steadily throughout the 10 years. And now in the last 3 years, I am solely dependent on my acting career. So I don't have like a day job anymore, which is really, I think, a really big accomplishment as an actor when you're like, yeah, I don't have to have a restaurant job, you know, that was a big deal for me. But nothing ever really took flight the way I thought it was going to, solely as just like an actor going into a room, auditioning and getting the part. It never really quite happened that way for me. And I think I struggled with that a lot because part of me, I think, just really wants it to happen the normal way. So when people would be like, you know, you're different. You need to write your own stuff and put yourself in it. For a long time, I had a really bad taste in my mouth about that. It kind of made me feel as if, oh, well, I have to write my own stuff because no one will hire me. And I didn't see the power in it. And it wasn't until recently in the last year that I started to really see and feel the power in creating my own content. And now it's become something that is so great. And it's funny because a lot of my actor friends who are doing things the quote normal way are really like envious that I have all this control all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So you know, I think it's a really good thing. I kind of wish I had told myself 10 years ago, hey, like, you should really pursue this, because it also sets you apart from just someone who's going on auditions, and you're way less dependent. You've taken things into your own hands. And I feel like by doing that, it really has propelled things for me in a very quick way. So I'm very pro creating your own content.
So now, after you've had this experience of creating several of your own works, which are very successful, do you see things differently now as an actor?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, now being kind of on the other side of things, I think I realize that we're not saving lives here, you know? I think when I used to go into a room, everything felt so important. And it felt like this really big thing. And if I messed up, like, we're all dead. I don't know, you know?
Me too.
It's the worst. And it's so ridiculous. And I think now I kind of realize, like, you know, casting is really subjective. And trying to cast, for example, my own stuff that I've written, it's like, yeah, I have a ton of actor friends that I would love to employ, but they're just not right for the part. And it doesn't mean that they're bad. It just means that they're just not right for it. And that kind of pains me sometimes, because I want to be like, you know, the good Samaritan of actors, just employing all my friends, which hopefully one day I'll be able to do. But, you know, now I'm kind of like, oh yeah, just because I walk into a room and I don't get a part or I don't get a callback or whatever, it doesn't mean I did a bad job. It just means maybe I'm just not right for the part. And so I think I walk in now with an element of like, I've let go of it, and it's been much better that way and way more enjoyable. I care a little less.
That's what gives you that power back, yeah. You know, when you care less. That's what I hear a lot with actors who go into rooms who get really nervous. They're being coached by acting coaches saying, just don't care as much. Walk in like you don't give a shit. And it's like, what? No, but I give lots of shits. But yeah. Then when they do, they're like, oh yeah, that was freaking awesome. I got to play.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't mean being careless where you're like, forget it. I'm not going to even learn the lines. I'm just going to make it up.
Like, yeah.
It's not that at all.
I'm just going to rewrite their show right now.
You're like, I'm sorry. I'm a writer. So I don't like this line here. But yeah, so yeah, it's about caring less, not being careless, but caring less.
I like that. That's going to be a quote. Yeah, girl, you watch it. It's going to be a quote on Twitter.
It's going to be t-shirts.
That's right. So Nat, I'd love to talk more now about your work that you're creating. So you're really busy doing several different projects. Let's talk about one of them. And I know one of them is called Pick Up Sticks with yes. New Form Digital. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That project is really interesting. I mean, not like, that sounds so egotistical. I mean, it's a really interesting project. No, I mean, it's just interesting how it came about is what I mean. I met my co-creator and co-writer of the project. Her name is Michelle Glavin. I met her 5 years ago on a Warner Brothers digital series called Aim High, which is actually where you and I met our mutual friend who made us friends, Amy Teagarden. It's kind of amazing, that project. I have so many close friends from it, and it was such a weird, random little project, but it's really amazing how things happen like that. And so Michelle and I met, and I had this idea for basically a behind-the-scenes look of a children's television program, and basically like the adults on the show are these really squeaky clean characters, and then in real life, they're totally fucked up and crazy. And the dichotomy of like trying to keep that persona of a children's television program being a role model, but battling with, you know, being an adult and what that's like. And so I had told Michelle about this idea, and I was like, I don't know if you want to write or whatnot. And her and I at the time had both barely written anything, but we got along and we thought the other one was funny. So we were like, yeah, let's write this. So we wrote this script as a half hour pilot 5 years ago. And we did a lot of different revisions. It definitely took different turns where first it was like they were on a successful show, then they were on a not successful show. Now they're back on a successful show. Like all, it had a lot of incarnations. There was a fifth pickup stick. Now there's only four. So, you know, it's like really interesting how like to think like where the idea started and like where it has evolved to today. And so flash forward to present day now, Michelle actually has a big YouTube following. And this company, New Form Digital, specifically wants to help influencers on the internet create elevated content. And so they reached out to Michelle and said, hey, do you have any scripts that you think might be that might work in a, as a short digital pilot. And she sent them our script, and it went through all these different hands, and then Michelle and I went in person and we pitched it, and then we had to write a treatment and all these things. And then the next thing we know, they've greenlit our script and we shot it in February. So it's really exciting. And it's kind of amazing that, to me, that lesson is you just don't know what's sitting on your laptop. You know, I think at that point I had really thought that, oh, that was a great exercise that we wrote that pilot, but I never really thought it would go anywhere. And here it is 5 years later, almost 6 years, and it's alive, and it's kind of, it's really amazing and really, it's very exciting.
Yeah, that is really exciting. How did that process actually go? So for listeners who have all these ideas running in their minds but don't know actually how to format it or whatnot, was there a program like Final Draft that you heard about and you're like, okay, let's just play?
When we first sat down, we actually sat down and wrote a pilot in Final Draft, like, and you know, we had a cold open, and you know, luckily we have friends in the industry who are accomplished writers who are willing to read our work. You have to be willing to let people read it and tell you it's terrible, which is really hard and embarrassing, but it's helpful. And so, you know, I'm very lucky and fortunate. My boyfriend, Jared Hillman, he is a filmmaker. I know, he's the best. He's a filmmaker and writer, director, and everything, an actor. And he was very integral in the writing process as well as helping with structure. He's very good at that. So if you have a, you know, if you have someone that you trust and you're like, who understands the idea and gets you, it's really helpful to have another pair of eyes. We also worked with a producer. He was one of the producers of Friends. His name is Kevin Bright. And he helped us with a draft of like maybe 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. So yeah, so it's interesting. But then when this company, Newform, when it got into their hands, they're really wonderful in nurturing us as creators. And they really held our hand through the whole writing process. So we went through a very intense, long notes process that took over a month to go through 8 drafts of a 15-page pilot. But they were very helpful in getting us the structure and raising the stakes and all those things. Yeah, it was a great learning experience, and I'm so grateful for it.
That's incredible. That's really, really inspiring to hear that, and to hear that, not to give up on things that you might feel are taking a little longer, because you said it was like about 6 years in the process.
Yeah.
And all this, it's happening, you know? That's so exciting to hear. Do you remember the short film that Amy and I were on set helping out? How did that come about? Can you tell us about that project? Because that, I feel like, really opened a lot of doors for you.
Yeah, you're right, actually. So there was this project that my boyfriend Jared and I, we wrote together, and it was this, it was a really like kind of, we call it high concept and a big idea that wasn't, we weren't able to shoot on our own, but we really felt passionate about, and we really wanted to show the two characters, which are these two girls named Jenny, but one's Jenny with a Y and the other's Jenny with an IE. So, you know, they're totally different. One of my dear friends, Brittany Ross, plays the other Jenny. And we really just wanted to show these characters on their feet and alive. So Jared and I wrote a 4-minute short that was shootable for us to do on our own budget. Yeah, we wrote that and we made it. And that little piece of 4-minute material opened a lot of doors for us to take meetings, because people just saw something that we could do. And granted, it was only 4 minutes long, but it was funny. It looked really professional. And they were like, oh, well, if they can make this, maybe they could make something more. You know, it was, people took interest in us, and it was a great sort of showcase of our talents that we have.
Absolutely. And for those who are interested in creating their own short films, but have no idea where to start because it's their very first time doing anything like this, how do you advise them on taking that big first step so it kind of just catapults them into getting the snowball rolling?
I mean, there's so many different ways nowadays. I've never done a Kickstarter before, but I know a lot of people who have, and they've been successful. With the Jenny specifically, we shot it all in one day, and we asked a lot of favors. So me, Jared, and Brittany, we just paid for it on our own out of pocket. And we did keep the cost very low, but we were able to get friends to work for free. Yeah, it was sort of like a group effort.
Yeah. And what about location? Were you able to get that for free?
Yeah, we kind of scored with that. We got a whole school for free.
That's crazy.
So that was kind of just a fluke. It's like you never know. And luckily, Jared at the time, he's made other short films that have done festival circuits and things like that. So I feel like people pretty much trusted us.
Yeah.
So when we were going in and saying like, hey, we're making this thing, it's for ourselves. I mean, you'd be really surprised how willing people are to help. It's kind of amazing. And even in LA where, you know, oh yeah, well, real shows shoot here. So why would someone let you do something for free? But it's like people just want to help nurture new people and they're all about giving back. And it's, in our experience, we've been very lucky in people being so helpful.
Do you feel comfortable talking about the actual total budget it turned out to be for the Jennies?
Yeah. We made that for under, like, just about $3,000.
Okay, guys, I actually had a chance to screen the Jennies, and for that cost, that's incredible. I'm very, very, very impressed. Great job, Nat and Jared and Brittany. How did you start shopping that around after it was edited? Jared, I'm assuming, was the one helping with editing, correct?
Yeah, so I'm lucky that Jared is like a one-stop
like
shop.
A whole package.
He's kind of amazing. Like even with the pickup sticks, Jared directed that.
Amazing.
He edited it. He did all the post graphics and special effects. And like the best is he's like, oh, I don't really know how to do this. And then he'll like figure it out. And then it's like amazing.
How did you go from finished product to then pitching? Were there emails sent, phone calls, or friends of friends?
So it actually took us a while to kind of like, not to finish it. We finished it very quickly. But it was about a year later that we actually started going, oh yeah, what are we going to do with this thing? And yeah, it was a couple things. One thing was I have a friend that works over at Awesomeness TV. And
can you explain what Awesomeness TV is for those that do not know?
Yeah, so Awesomeness TV is a multi-channel platform, and it's its own platform as well of online digital content. They have over 3 million subscribers. They also do shows on Netflix and on Nickelodeon. So Awesomeness is a huge network, and it's teen focused. So it's a younger audience, but not like kids. And so I do have a friend that works there, and we sent her the Jennies as like, hey, want to check this out? We made this thing, you know? Actually kind of was the inspiration for us actually making it, because she had read our original script and really loved it and was like, this is a great concept, but it's really expensive, you know, to make. So we were like, oh, well, let's show her what these characters look like on their feet, and maybe this is a different idea for them. Mm. And so we sent it to her, and she really loved it. And she wound up bringing Jared and I in for a meeting, because one of the things that stood out to her was a few things, actually. It showed our comedy as writers, Jared as a director. It did show me as an actor, although I am a little old for their audience.
No, you're not. You look like you're 15, so that's what matters.
Thank you. And it also showed that we could make something that looks high quality for a low budget, which in the internet world is really valuable. And so she brought us in, and that's where we got the meeting. We actually took a few meetings about other ideas, and they had a few internal ideas that they thought maybe we would be a good fit for. And we pitched back and forth on one internal idea that wound up not moving forward. And then they had another one, and that was an idea of the show for Teen Survival Guide. And that's the show that we wound up making. We wound up making 8 episodes, and 4 of them are actually online right now on YouTube, on Awesomeness's channel.
I love hearing that. So you creating this $3,000 budget short film then leads to a full webisode series on a very reputable platform on YouTube. I know that some of the episodes are inspired by your own true stories, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so give us a little bit of a heads up, like what your series is about for Awesomeness TV.
So Team Survival Guide, it centers on these two twins. They're the Merrill twins, Veronica and Vanessa Merrill. And they're so great. They have a big YouTube following, Instagram, social media following. Awesomeness really likes to put influencers into their content, and that's the way they are. Some companies will care about that, and some companies won't care about that. And awesomeness, that's their thing. That's what they target. And so the Merrill Twins are our guides through this. And it's basically each episode revolves around a mishap in high school that you might come across and sort of how to solve it in a creative way.
That's so cute. Can you give us one episode where it was inspired by your true story growing up?
So the one that's very true story is Teen Survival Guide to Surviving a Pop Quiz. And basically what happened in high school was one of my best friends, Anya, and I were in first period, and the teacher hadn't taken roll yet. And she was like, okay, it's time for the test. And Anya and I looked at each other and we were like, wait, what test? Was there a test? Like, both, neither one of us knew or studied at all. The teacher hadn't taken roll yet. So we literally like slid down in our desks and crawled out of the classroom.
Oh my gosh. Did anyone else say anything?
No, everyone was just like, either no one noticed or they were like, whatever. Yeah, it's like, great. So we have that happening in one episode. And the girls do make it out of class. But see, like, Annie and I, like, we didn't really, like, learn our lesson because we didn't get caught. But they may get caught and learn a lesson.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Is there one specific moment throughout your career that you can remember that you really felt stuck in a rut and you almost felt like giving up? And how did you get yourself out of that?
I don't really know if I can narrow down the amount of times I felt stuck in a rut. Not to be like depressing.
Well, life of an actor, it's understandable.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions going around. You know, there was a time actually last year where I kind of got hit hard a few times in a row where I was really close to getting a couple jobs like in a row and I didn't get any of them. And I was really, really upset. And I actually wound up videoing myself crying like a baby. And then I realized that the angle that I had like made me look like a potato. Like, I looked like a potato. And then I was so mad that I looked at like a potato, but I have the whole thing on video. And it's so funny. And then afterwards, I rewatched it and I laughed so hard. And that's when I was like, okay, Natalie, you gotta let go of this stuff because none of this is anything real. Like, you know, you're so upset about this thing. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And then you just don't know what's happening kind of behind the scenes, that you don't know what's going on, like seeds you've planted years ago that are starting to, for lack of a better term, but sprout. And it's like, you have no idea what is going on, what's like working behind the curtain, I feel like. And so that's just what I remind myself every day, is when I'm feeling I really don't know what I'm doing or what's next or anything like that. I'm like, well, you know what? All these other things kind of came up that you didn't think about. So why don't you just not overthink it and let things happen and just keep moving forward every single day. And, you know, there were days where I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Am I cut out for it? And every time I kind of like threatened myself with giving up this industry, there was always a piece inside of me that was like, no, you can't. Like I've always known like that this is what I'm supposed to do and that eventually it'll work out when it's supposed to work. And until the day where my inner voice finally says, okay, you can be done, then I'll know. But until then, I always feel like there's that thing inside of me that's like, no, you're not going to give up. You're too stubborn.
You are from a line of performers. So do you ever feel a certain pressure? Because for me, my family, they're from a very business background. So for me, even though I was in acting, I felt a pull towards business as well. For you, do you think that it's innate in you as a performer? Or do you feel a certain way that's carved for you to be an actor, a performer?
You know, it's interesting because on one hand, you know, my family really understands the process and what it takes. They are very, very, very supportive. And then on the other hand, a lot of them have experienced great, great success. So, you know, there have been those moments where, you know, I'll do something on TV and they're like, you only had three lines? And I'm like, Yeah, I mean, still trying to get past that.
I love you.
It's like they don't quite get it, and I know it means that it's just because they want more for me, but it feels, sort of disheartening at times. And then, there are times where it feels frustrating where it's like, oh, why couldn't my family have been more into nepotism and all these different things? And, but it is the way it is. And I think overall it gave me a very realistic look into the entertainment industry that some people don't have, where I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand this from another point of view, and I understand that it's not glitzy and it's not all glitz and glamour, and it's not just you move out here from, the middle of nowhere and you make it big. It takes a lot of hard work, and there's going to be ebb and flow, and there's going to be times where you're on a TV series, and there's going to be times where you're not on a TV series, and there's going to be times where, you don't have to convince anyone that you're awesome and talented, and then there's going to be times where you're like, wow, I really feel like I'm, trying to break down barriers here. And I've seen that in a lot of people's career in my family. So I think I understood that, like, nothing is sort of a free ride or a guarantee, that it's a constant ebb and flow and a constant work.
And it's crazy how fast things can change too. Nat, also just super quick, I love talking about retreats for writers that people gather together and have a safe space to create their work. So is there anything like that that you've been to?
Yeah, I've never really been to any retreats like that. But one thing I feel like is hard to do as an actor or creative person, it's really hard to sort of take a break. And so to me, I feel like when I'm home, like I feel like I need to be doing all these things and stuff. And so I think it's really important to also just take time for yourself to sort of reset and recharge, whether you decide you're going to take quiet time and go write somewhere. If that really makes you feel good, then I'd say do that. But for me, sometimes what helps my creativity more is when I just stop and take a moment to reset, whether it's a weekend away or anything like that, without my computer, and just really kind of like refocus on myself. And then it sort of helps me kind of reset and get ready to dive back into work again, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I know there's some really great writers retreats. I'm not personally familiar with them. I do try to meditate every day if I can. I do have like my mantra from Transcendental Meditation, and I try to use that sometimes to sort of clear my head. I mean, yeah, that'd be really cool. I'd love to go on a writer's retreat.
It's actually really cool. I'll give you a list of recommendations afterwards. I'll email you with them. Natalie, thank you so much for your time. You've been amazing. Last question before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
Do you have a book or a few books that you recommend that has helped you with your career?
Well, I've done The Artist's Way
Oh, okay.
multiple times.
Nice.
Yeah, and I really enjoy that. I think it's a great book for anyone, actually, even if you're not in the creative field. And so I've done that a few times where I've done it and I've been really good about it, and then I've let it go, and then a year later I'll come back and redo it, and it's interesting how like it changes. Another book that I really, really like, it's not a book specifically for writers or actors, but it's called The Spontaneous Fulfillment of Desire, and it's a Deepak Chopra book. And that was a really exciting book for me to read because it's kind of about manifestation and all that stuff, which I love, but sometimes I get a little too carried away with that. But this kind of like brings it a little bit down to earth and sort of brings in a science to it as well, which I thought was really fascinating and interesting. So I like that. I like that book a lot.
Ooh.
Yeah, those are kind of my.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me.
That wraps up today's episode. Natalie is such a positive human being with a killer sense of humor, and I had the best time chatting with her. Nat, thank you so much again for sharing your journey and advice with our listeners. You are awesome. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your birthday week. And thank you, Storyteller Tribe, for listening in as always. Please be sure to check out Natalie's show she co-created for Awesomeness TV called Teen Survival Guide. Look out for The Pickup Sticks coming out this spring, a show she co-created for New Forms Digital Series. And listeners, if you're in LA, you have to check out Natalie's show called The Craigslist Monologues, which runs monthly at the Upright Citizens Brigade. I've gone many times and I lose it every single time. The Craigslist Monologues is a show that Natalie co-created, and actors perform monologues from the most ridiculous and bizarre Craigslist posts, and they're all real ads that were found on Craigslist. For a list of resources Natalie mentions in her episode, head over to 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/Natalie Lander. As a side note, I've been listening to your comments and feedback about wanting to publish your own work. I truly believe you'll want to hear what our sponsor has to offer, especially if you're a writer or a poet. Vermont College of Fine Arts has two writing programs I want to tell you about. Their MFA in Writing is one of the original low residency programs and, frankly, one of the best in the country. Writers gather at VCFA's beautiful campus for two separate 10-day residencies each year. Imagine yourself immersed in a setting much like an intense writer's retreat, where you're fully committed to workshops, lectures, and readings. After the residencies, you return home and work with a dedicated faculty advisor throughout the rest of the semester. The MFA in Writing and Publishing is their very first and brand new residential program that also focuses on improving your writing and giving you the tools to thrive in the arts. Every student learns directly from agents, editors, and publishers. The cool thing is that it's a cross-genre program, which means if you're a poet, you're encouraged to learn from faculty in fiction or nonfiction. Imagine yourself learning and creating in this incredible writing community, all while living on their gorgeous campus in Montpelier, Vermont. Be sure to head over to 88cupsoftea.com/go/VCFA to learn more about these programs and their MFA in Writing for Children and Young Adults. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.